Absolutely crucial that we submit our thinking to Jesus Christ and His revealed will for us. That we learn to hold every thought captive. The thoughts come here and there. Some things are wrong and they're evil and whatever. And I got to say, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to think that way. Lord Jesus, help me if I fail.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Kathy from Texas. She says, thank you, God bless you. I love your program, and I'm praying for you. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for your encouragement, and we so appreciate the prayers of those who are listening. It is such a blessing for us to hear. So thank you so much, and we praise the Lord for His encouragement through you.
And Greg, take a moment and tell us what you meant by the title of today's message.
Well, Dave, the title of my message today asks the simple question, what are you thinking about? Whether we realize it or not, we constantly think about something, and our thinking has a tremendous impact on our lives as revealed in our attitudes and actions. And for believers, this area of thinking is especially important. So if you have a Bible handy, turn with us to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to continue our look at verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Practice these things, or do literally these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Tremendous, tremendous promise. Tremendous promise. So, tremendous passage. So, with that in mind, what are we to be thinking about? What are we to be thinking about? Again, let's take a look at our passage today. Verse 8, finally, brethren. Now, he begins this passage saying finally. Now, in Greek, this is a word we've seen before. It actually doesn't mean the last thing. It says, I've got more things to say as to the rest of what I need to say. And he says, brethren, finally, brethren. As we saw earlier, these Philippians, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are believers. What I share to you today is to believers in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can be, because God is gracious. And He has revealed that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can be saved. And then for those who are saved, who have the Spirit of God and the ability to trust God, He now shows us what we should be doing, where we should be thinking, what our minds should be at. Finally, brethren, those are true believers, children of God, finally. And notice what He says. He says here, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Notice these whatevers. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. This command is for believers. If you're not a believer, you can't do it. You'll sit here being frustrated. It's for believers. Christ enables us for every command. He gives us the power to do them. If we're willing, it's all in the will. If I'm willing to do it, He enables you to do it. You see, now what's interesting, I want to share the structure of this passage. It's important before we look at it in depth. First of all, there are two commands in verses 8 and 9. That's what it is all centered around. The first one is at the end of 8. Let your mind dwell on these things. That's the first command. Then, in the middle of verse 9, practice these things. Those are the two commands that everything hangs on. And our first verse, which we're going to look at today, verse 8, we have a list of things. Whatever this, whatever this, whatever this. We have six things. Whatever those things. He says, then let your mind dwell on these things. Those six things He has just said. That's the structure of the passage. That's the structure. And so here we have a command. Finally, brethren, and as we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the first foundational one, whatever is true. And next week we'll see all the rest of them. Whatever is true. He says, you could say it this way, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on this. Whatever is honorable, let your mind dwell on this. You could see it that way. Now this phrase translated, let your mind dwell, is actually one word in Greek. The word is lagizomai. And what does that mean? It basically means something to the effect that we are to consider something. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And as I mentioned before, it doesn't take long to realize that the Christian life is played out in the mind. You see that what we think determines what we do. What we think determines what we do. If my mind is thinking rotten things, guess what? I'm pretty soon I'm going to be doing rotten things. If my mind is worrying, I'm going to pretty soon be dishonoring the Lord in the midst of my behavior, not trusting Him, right? If my mind is thinking the right things, God will manifest that in our lives. You see, if you have real faith, it's going to work out in your actions, you see? And if your lack of faith, it's going to work out in your actions also. So then, we see that. And I actually turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, because we see in this passage that basically Paul makes the case that where your mind is at all the time, now sometimes our minds go over the place, but where you are, if this is the way you are from start to finish, this is who you are. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. He says, for those who are according to the flesh, now in context, that's non-believers, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. You see, if you don't know Christ, you don't submit yourself to Him and His Word. You're not even able to do so. You see? It's hostile. However, if you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you've been saved and you have God's Spirit in you, you are not in the flesh. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now we know as believers, we're tempted day in, day out to think the way we used to think before we came to faith. And guess what? If we don't actively do something, we will be conformed to the way we used to be. If I don't actively make attempt to change my thinking by allowing His Word to transform me, I will be conformed to the way I was before I was saved. And some of you may have truly come to faith, but you have not been renewing your mind and you are conformed to the world. You're acting like you used to be before you were saved. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we change our hearts, our minds, and we adjust it to what God has said, we take our circumstances and apply God's Word to it and apply a relationship with Him to that, we're going to act differently. We're going to act differently. In the end of verse 8 in Philippians chapter 4, it says, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, I've alluded to this word translated, let your mind dwell, lagizomai, lagizomai. Interesting word. Sometimes the Greek words have funny sounds to them, right? Lagizomai. It basically means thinking according to logical rules. It was an accounting term, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. It's logic, thinking according to logical rules. It means take into account, keep a mental record, reckon or consider. Think of something carefully. One lexicon says it this way. It speaks of a deliberate and prolonged contemplation, as if one was weighing a mathematical problem. It speaks of deliberate, long contemplation. I can have thoughts that go in and out, right, all day long. But when I think about something very carefully, that's what this is talking about. Lagizomai. Let your mind dwell on these things. And it is in an imperative mood. What does that mean? It means it's not a suggestion. God, to believers, is saying this is a command. If you name the name of Christ, if you say, I am a Christian, you name the name of Christ, then God is commanding you and I to do this. And if we don't do it, we are disobedient. And we will suffer the consequences. And if you are a believer, God's a good God. He'll spank us just like a good father so that we will start obeying, right? So we have here, let your mind dwell on these things. It's also in a present tense, which speaks of continual action. Continually, habitually think this way. Put your mind on these things. Now remember, we saw earlier that non-believers, those who are playing Christian, you know, people play parts, right? God sees the heart, but people play parts. They pretend to be something they're not. The Pharisees did that, didn't they? The Pharisees pretended to be believers in the Lord, but they were hypocrites, as Jesus would say. You see, in Philippians chapter 3, turn back a little bit and look at verse 17. Just go back one chapter. Philippians 3, 17. Paul says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, whom I have often told you, now even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, or literally desire, whose God is their desires, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. It's all about this life, this way, it's nothing else. Now, it doesn't mean we don't think about what's going on here, but the believer is to apply God's word to those things, as we'll see. We know that we believers are to set our mind on things above. I would have said I was a believer years ago when I wasn't, and I would hear something like this, and I'd just go, whatever, basically, and walk out, you know? But the reality is when God changed my heart, I don't say whatever anymore. I say, wow, this is awesome. Lord, help me do this, because I can't do it. And he does help me do it. You want to go just past Philippians to Colossians. It's the next book. Keep your fingers in Philippians 4:8, but go to Colossians chapter 3. And these commands are for believers. If then you have been raised with Christ, hey, you've been united with him. His death, burial, and resurrection applies to you because you believed in Jesus. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, that's thinking, on the things above, not the things of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. By the way, when we set our mind on the things of earth, that's where you're going to be worrying and depressed. I'll tell you that right now. Because it's pretty depressing. You think about sin and sinful people and your own sin, whatever it is, right? Set your mind to things above. What's the things above? God has forgiven me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Jesus did it all, and I'm on my way to glory with him, right? And so we see here, set your mind to things above, not the things of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So you see, where we think actually is where our behavior is going to be, by the way. Where you think your behavior is going to be that, be there. There was one pastor from the 1800s wrote, the ideas and images of men's mind are invisible powers that constantly govern them. Well, I didn't need him to say that. The Bible says that we're not to be conformed to this world, right? But transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would prove what his will is. Absolutely crucial for believers in Jesus to learn how to think biblically. It is a process to learn to think biblically in every area in your life. And you will be blessed. Blessed is the man who meditates on the word day and night, right? You're not blessed if you're not thinking that way. And we need to be taught and grow up. And God helps us. Absolutely crucial that we submit our thinking to Jesus Christ and his revealed will for us. That we learn to hold every thought captive. The thoughts come here and there. Some of these are wrong and they're evil and whatever. And I got to say, no, that's wrong. That's not true. That's sinful. That's wrong. No, I'm not going to think that way. Lord Jesus, help me if I fail. Now, every one of us knows that our sin begins with our thoughts, doesn't it? It really does. Turn to James chapter 1, or hold your fingers in Philippians. We'll turn to James chapter 1. Ladies are getting close to this in their Bible study. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The term lust here just means desire in a negative way. When my desires carry me away, I'm tempted. My desire for ease and my desire for whatever it might be, if it's contrary to God's desires, it carries me away, right? Says here, he says, is carried away, enticed by his own lust or desires, and then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. You see, when my desires go their way, right, and I give myself over to them, the result is sin, right? The result is sin. Turn to Mark chapter 7. The Lord Jesus makes it clear where sin comes from. Sin doesn't come from how you were treated when you were a child. The temptation might. Evil things happen to people, right? And someone may be sick or have had a terrible childhood, evil parents, whatever it might be. And yes, that is a temptation to sin. But the sinning part doesn't come from that. It comes from inside. It comes from inside, as we're going to say. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. The Pharisees were basically saying, hey, why isn't Jesus washing his? Why aren't your disciples washing their hands? Why aren't they following our little rules? And Jesus is going to make the point, hey, it's not what goes in you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you. Okay? That's the context for this. Matthew 7, verse 18. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot defile him? It does not go into the heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of men is that which is defiles the man. For from within, out of what? The heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. It all comes from here and it goes out there. That's where our sin comes from. And before we act on sin, we've sinned way in advance in our minds, right? It's already happened, okay? It's already happened. One pastor writes, the greatest area of sin in the believer's life is not in the actions, but in the area of thought. There's a whole classification of sins that would have been called sins of the mind. What was Lucifer's first sin? Sin of a mind, right? I will be like the Most High. I will raise myself up, right? Pride. It's pride. We need to recognize that our sins begin in our thoughts. And so it is imperative that we pay close attention to what God is trying to tell us in the passage today, because he's trying to tell us to let our mind dwell on the right things. And he's going to give us a list. These are the right things. If it falls into these categories, you're thinking in the right area. Let your mind dwell on these things. And so we get some very practical categories how our minds should dwell. Now let me give you one more caveat here about this. It's not talking about positive thinking. He's not saying just think positive. That's not what he's saying. Like the false teachers of old, like Schuller and Vincent Peale or Joel Osteen, those guys that say think positive and God will do all stuff. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying let your mind dwell on these things, and we'll talk about these things. So what are these things? Let's look at them back in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Now, in this grammar, I'm going to tell you something before I keep reading. Whatever, there's the Greek term whatever before each thing. Each one has that. But the is only in the first one, and it applies to everything. Okay? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Think about them like a mathematical problem. Put your attention to these things. And that's in the context of being anxious for nothing but praying about everything, right? And it takes discipline to learn to think about the things of Christ, as we will see, rather than the things of me, right? Because I, by nature, want to think about me, and you, by nature, want to think about you. That's who we are, right? And so we need to think about these things. So notice he gives some qualifying statements in end of verse 8. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise. This whole list has to do with things that are excellent. Things that are worthy of praise. Now the only thing I know that's worthy of praise is the Lord, by the way. And the things that he does and what he says, right? The only things that I know are excellent are the things of the Lord and the things that he does and the things that he says. So whatever. Now this term whatever here doesn't mean like we think, you know, whatever, right? That's the way we see whatever, right? That's not what it means. It means literally as much as it is this. You could even say it this. Everything that is this. All that. Everything that's this, let your mind dwell on it. Let your mind dwell on it. And so he says here, to begin, there's six things, and then two summary statements. And the first one we're going to look at today and finish up with that, whatever is true. And then next week, we'll look at all the rest of them, okay? Because I believe the first one is the foundation for all the rest. And so we'll briefly look at this first one, whatever is true. Now, this is so important. This is so important because he's saying whatever is, and the is a continual habitual tense. Whatever is continually true. Whatever is continually and currently true in a sense. Right? I could say my shirt is blue, and it is, right? It's continually blue, isn't it, right? That's true, isn't it, right? Whatever is true. And we're going to see that whatever is true is the first on the list, and I believe it's there for a reason. It's the first characteristic. It's the basis of everything we are to be thinking about. You see, we need to recognize that truth is very important. That whatever is true is what we should be dwelling on, because so often we dwell on things that are actually not true. You know, when I look into the future, in a sense, wondering and worrying about what's happening, that's not true. I'm not God. I don't know what's going to happen. But I act as though I am when I'm worrying about it, don't I? Whatever is true. But we need to also take out the worldly definitions of truth also. There are some worldly definitions of truth. A lot of churches think of truth as whatever works. That's called pragmatism. Well, if it works, it's true, right? That's not what this is talking about. It's not whatever works. It's whatever is true. You see, churches that do ministry based on results rather than what God has declared to be true suffer the penalty, and the people suffer the penalty. Because the church is to be the pillar and support of the truth, Paul told Timothy. The pillar and support of the truth. And as we'll see, the truth is in God's word. Now, also, there's another saying out there that's wrong. All truth is God's truth. People say that. Well, everything is God's truth, right? Counselors will say that. All truth is God's truth. Well, not from this perspective here. You see, there are things that might be observed and are true, but not in the context of what God says and what he has done and who he is. You see, the wisdom of man, James 4, is from below. And it's called earthly, natural, and demonic. And we are assaulted on all sides concerning truth. Satan, in the very beginning with Eve, tried to challenge the truth of God. Did God really say that? Right away, Satan wants to challenge that. So we need to understand what real biblical truth is. Now, the term in Greek, aletheia, refers to that which is reliable, valid, real, genuine. It is truth, as always opposed to falsehood. As always opposed to falsehood. It's truth. First of all, it is a characteristic of the living God. It is a attribute, in a sense, of the living God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, I know you'll have more for us on this topic in our next broadcast, but as we close today's broadcast, give us a takeaway from your message.
Well, Dave, the takeaway is this. We need to control what we think about. As believers, we're children of God. We're new creations in Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, because who we are in Christ and what we do is so intricately connected to our heart and mind, God wants us to be diligent in what we allow ourselves to think about. Indeed, as we've seen, God wants us to think about those things in accordance with his truth laid out in his word. Before our salvation, we paid little attention to what was entering our minds and our hearts. But now we need to hold every thought captive, because everything we think about directly affects our hearts and then our attitudes and actions.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.